Om Shanti. So, it is our pleasure this morning to welcome on stage our two divine sisters. First, on my far right, Sister Dipti from South Africa. She is a senior BK teacher, very experienced. She has done a lot of work with young people in the living values education in the townships of South Africa. And she is one of Baba's sweet and gentle souls. Together with her is Sister Gopi, who also has experience of Africa, but is actually from the UK, who has spent a lot of time with Daddy Janki, or maybe Daddy Janki spent a lot of time with her. And she is also quite active, especially in youth empowerment, personality development, women's empowerment, trust and government, race and reconciliation, social justice. Apart from the many intellectual service they do for us, they are also active in Baba's Yagya in various projects and programs. We had considered having them for separate classes, but fortunately for us, they are both here together, so I think it will be a rich experience of their sharing. I'm not quite sure who is interviewing who, but we would like to welcome Sister Dipti and Sister Gopi. Om Shanti.
Thank you, Vijay Bhai. Om Shanti. Good morning. So, today's session is something that just developed quite organically. I think we all enjoyed Baba's Murli on Sunday, and it got the ocean and the waves of that ocean flowing. So we've been having a number of conversations, and I thought it would be nice that we draw these jewels out. So before I'm going to interview Sister Gopi, but before we do that, maybe you just want to share what's coming into the heart right now. It's about love, so what's sitting here right now?
Om Shanti. You know, I was feeling how the soul is held in Baba's womb. Because this one relationship, I'd say only relationship, is eternal, unbreakable, immortal, sweet. And there is a very subtle umbilical cord that through which we receive so much nourishment from Baba, whether we're conscious of it or not. You know, here we are, and our egos tend to think we're doing everything. And actually, it's the power of a very pure and true bond that's inspiring something to be done. And you know, there are moments in our lives where we feel inspired, we feel strengthened to do something, we receive sakash, we receive power, we receive strength. And these are moments when the nourishment of the umbilical cord is doing its work. Because no matter what, around the whole cycle, we have been sustained by this bond. And then whatever our individual births and individual dramas and circumstances are, through our karma, we've shaped the expression of that love. And so for me, very much the power of love is the power of relationship, this eternal relationship. And, you know, Baba, in the Sunday Murli, he used the word snehi when he used the word love. And in Hindi, there are several words for love. And each word communicates a different relationship. So when we use the word snehi, it's very much the bond between a child and a parent. The affection, loving affection that a parent has for a child. When we use the word pyar, it's a friendly love, love of equals. When we use the word mohabbat, it's an Urdu word, it's the lover and beloved love. And when we use the word preet, it's the love of husband and wife, where the intellects are so intertwined. Each one is always in perceiving the other. So there's all these different words for love, and there's love in English, which is just love. And somehow, love is not a concept. It is the energy of a relationship. And you know, growing up with many of the dadis, they knew how to rest in love. I know we say rest in peace. You literally died, but this is literally just resting with Baba. They knew how to relax into relationship with Baba and receive love. Because I feel you have to let yourself be loved. I mean, this is what rebirthing is. It's not an intellectual thing. Well, I now belong to Baba. I didn't before. Well, you've always belonged to Baba. It's an eternal. It is an impulse that has sustained you for eternity. It's just now you've recognized. That's the difference. And in recognition, some things become more conscious and alive. Now, present, where you can enjoy its sweetness now. So, you know,
that's
my feeling.
So is that connected to where you're going to now, where Baba said that experience the blessing of love as an awareness? You know, Baba in Sunday's Murli was talking about the blessing of love and to keep that in the awareness. So what does it feel like, or what meaning do you give to the energy of being blessed with love? What's your experience of being blessed with love?
You know, maybe people think to be blessed means to receive something from the outside, like a gift from the outside, i.e., in other words, something you don't have. But for me, being blessed is you can't receive something you don't already have. And a lot of feeling blessed is about being seen, being recognized. Being recognized for who you are. And that lies in Baba's drishti. Because, you know, it's not that, you know, when Baba says and he gives us all these umpteen titles, but our capacity to feel blessed very much depends on our capacity to realize and recognize ourselves in Baba's drishti. This is a very subtle thing. I mean, you know, there's a lot of souls, a lot of dynamics where we're still looking for respect. We're still looking for some form of recognition in service, position, honor, name, fame, recognition. There's a deep need, human need for this. And underneath all of that is, I just want to be seen for who I am. And honored. And I feel like when that subtle work happens in Baba's vision, have I recognized myself in Baba's vision?
As you're saying that, I'm remembering Dadi once said that you don't know how to take drishti from Baba. Mm-hmm. She was talking to a gathering and she said, you don't know how to take drishti from Baba. Are you catching Baba's drishti?
Mm.
And I think it's a very important aspect of receiving that love or being seen by God. You know, just what you're talking about. And sometimes souls struggle with taking drishti. It's the gift of the confluence age. It's the gift of my Brahman life. And sometimes in yoga, this very vital living moment of feeling Baba's drishti, souls avoid due to their own maybe lack of self-respect or lack of self-value. So how do I receive that love or that attention? And how do I open myself to Baba's drishti? What opens that space?
Well, you know, I want to kind of flip it. That you are already in Baba's drishti. That I like to start there.
Okay.
Now, you know, when I think of a baby, the baby's experience of love from its infancy is through the eyes. And that's how it bonds, right? It knows mom through the eyes. It knows dad through the eyes before it can even say mom and dad. And that bond of just the eyes connecting, it allows a very deep recognition. So I am already in Baba's eyes.
So how do I accept it?
Well, it's not. It's a question of recognizing what's the veil.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
To recognize the veil.
I'm already accepted for what I am. I'm already in Baba's eyes. He knows he's my parent. But do I know I'm his child right now?
So how do I take off the veil?
Well, first is you need to let yourself see the veil. Because sometimes there are drivers underneath, you know, like body conscious influences we've carried. We come to Baba like a lump of coal and he sees the diamond, right? So there's a lot of stuff there. But there's, at a very deep level, what doesn't allow us to take drishti, or what I've recognized for myself, very subtle attachments. Often, sometimes in yoga, souls will continuously sleep. You know, you'll sit in yoga and suddenly out like a light. And I remember many years ago, this was a situation that kept happening with one particular sister. And logically, we would just say, well, go and go to sleep, right? And we said to Daddy, well, isn't it make sense for her just to go to sleep? And Daddy said two things. No. Somebody is remembering her. There's a subtle attachment, something unresolved. So that pull just switches off the soul in that moment. And the second thing that he said is that as long as she continues to get up, follow her principles, at one point in following those principles consistently over a period of time, that veil will lift, that account will finish. So there's something about, it's not about paralyzing yourself and analyzing this stuff. Because you can't wade through every piece of mud and analyze it. But you can let two things happen. You can just let yourself sit with Baba and just let Baba's drishti work on you and let yourself become very quiet. So whatever, let whatever is happening, happen. But Baba's drishti is like the sun. It continues to shine on the soul. And then the second thing is my own personal discipline. Show up. show up for the Amrit Vela, show up for Murali, be present in the moment. You know, don't let the stuff take over. And it's a little bit like this whole thing that a rolling stone gathers no moss. And so I've always found that keep myself going in small ways, and eventually the pull of the past disengages, because I want to let go. And it's only when I want to let go will that thing let me go. Now, you know, when I'm sitting in front of Baba, the experience is that it's as if Baba's very subtle arms come out through his eyes and they just capture the little soul and they hold the soul. Baba holds you. And in being held, everything else becomes quiet. All the scars and memories merge. And how long you can stay there is how long you will remain protected for. But the moment you let your intellect get distracted, somebody's come in the room, suddenly your eyes go. It's very subtle. You come out of that womb. You lose the stability, you lose the immunity, you lose the protection, that space and that womb that is created through Baba's drishti offers. You can stay very distant from whatever's happening in your drama or in the drama, just by letting yourself be held in Baba's drishti. But it's a quiet thing, huh? Mm-hmm. It's not a loud thing. You need to really learn to relax and be quiet. Quiet child with Baba. I mean, you need to trust the relationship. He knows how to take the soul forward. And I think many times when souls are experiencing bondage, that's when the word how comes in. I'm in bondage and I'm feeling surrounded. How? Well, I'm already free. But there are three energies that I have been very careful not to entertain in my Brahmin life that makes me feel the bondage more than Baba's love. The first energy is the energy of being victimized, feeling like a victim. Be very careful. A Brahmin soul is a master. You can't feed that frequency at any level. The second one is the energy of rescuing or wanting to be rescued. You know, sometimes you'll get some souls that have a very loving nature and they're a little bit like mother hen. Oh, come under my wings. I'll put you under my wings and rescue you. And sometimes we like to be rescued because it abdicates us from something. We can rest in being rescued, but we remain weak. Baba's love doesn't rescue us.
No.
It salvages us and it helps us become clean and clear again.
It rejuvenates us, like you were saying two days ago.
Yeah.
Come to rejuvenate you.
So I've been very careful not to feed this feeling of wanting someone to rescue me. Wanting to rescue someone. And the third, let me see, because I was writing this down. Yes, the third is a feeling of longing. You know, many times in our life, we can feed something called nostalgia. Right? And that's a form of sorrow. It's a very subtle form of sorrow. But longing for anything. Yeah, desire is a gross word. We use that word. But for me, this word longing of any kind. Even if, for example, I had a powerful experience with Baba 3 years ago and I'm longing for that same experience again. Well, that moment, that time was different. Now it's different. And so these three things very, very important to stay away from and not to feed. Because the moment you feed that, you will feel the bondage of your past karma, guaranteed. And so it's extremely important as a Brahmin soul to stay away from thoughts or feelings related to that. And it's not that they won't come. They will come. But when we stay with Baba and we don't allow the foot of the mind to indulge in that feeling, it passes. And you are left with the lightness of love, the cleanliness of love, the coolness of love. Because that's the hallmark of Baba's love. It's very clean, it's very clear, and it's very liberating. And then you're left with this feeling, you know what? It's okay. I'm okay, you're okay, everything's okay. Everything will be okay. I know Baba used the words, your stage feels as though it's guaranteed victory. Yeah, it's a quiet thing. It's not a loud thing of, well, I'm victorious, let's fly the flag. No. It's a very quiet feeling of a deep stability of knowing everything is okay. Whatever I am, however I am, I'm okay.
It's nourishing, isn't it?
Very nourishing. Very nourishing.
As I'm listening to you, my eyes rested on our ancestor souls at the back there. And I'm just looking at the dadis and our dadas. A very lovely feeling. And I know that each one of them had such an amazing expression of love. So different, but powerful. And I know that you've spent time with quite a few of them. So this is like a rapid fire question to you. Dadiji, Dadi Janki, and our Dadi Gulzarji. You know, you spend a lot of time with them, and they have expressed facets of love that were so unique and necessary for this whole feeling of this yajna and this family. And what were the special qualities of love that you experienced from them?
Mm-hmm. You know, I want to start with Lachu Daddy.
Okay, start with Lachu Daddy.
Lachu Daddy used to look after Brahma Baba. Lachu Daddy would prepare food for Brahma Baba. She would prepare his meals. She was like, you know, really lovely soul. But you know, one thing I've noticed, irrespective of the unique speciality that was their expression of what they received from Baba and their uniqueness, what I've noticed in all of them was consistency in their expression. Because when there's real love, there's consistency.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And Lachu Daddy, interestingly enough, extremely accurate with everything. One of Lachu Daddy's roles was bhog, preparing a bhog, cutting the bhog in bite-sized tiny pieces. You know, even for Sakar Baba, when she would make small things, accurate things. Even for Avyak Bab Dada, when you'd see her prepare the bhog, nothing changed. Just because Baba wasn't Sakar, it didn't mean suddenly she lapsed on how she prepared the bhog. And I had the good fortune to travel with her to a few places around India. And we had a lovely, friendly relationship. And I remember on one particular trip, you know, she brought out the lunch and dinner box. I mean, it was amazing. Everything had its place, right, in this dinner box. Everything was finely cut. And here we are, we're just going on like an 8-hour train journey, you know. It's not like we're offering bhog to Bab Dada. And she had a knife specially packed and prepared. And then she says, it's fruit time. And so she cut the fruit up for me, you know. And it was just, I thought, this level of accuracy and attention to detail is her love. But irrespective of whether she's preparing bhog for Avyakt Bap Dada, preparing food for Sakar Baba, or sitting on a train offering me food, it's the same. Same expression. And that's what I've really appreciated about all the dadis, the equanimity of the expression of their love. Now, Dadiji's love, and many here will have been the recipient of that too, I know. Of course, her uniqueness was loving and detached. But one of her hallmarks, because I remember asking Daddy the question, Daddy, why does Baba love you so much? And without blinking an eyelid, she said, because my eyes have never been absorbed in any person or anything. It's always been one Baba and none other. Mm-hmm. You know, she's never let her eyes become trapped in anything. What do? We go shopping with our eyes. Oh, this is nice, and this is nice, and we get a bit impressed, and we get a bit... And her eyes haven't taken fragrance from anything other than Baba. And that's why we've always experienced such a flood of love from her and deep detachment. And Daddy's speciality is as loving as she was, as detached as she was. And she would say it as it was. And I remember a group of brothers coming to her. And they were quite keen, they were double foreigners, and they were quite keen on doing 8 hours yoga bhati for a week, every day. So Dadiji met them in the history hall, and I was translating for Dadiji. And they were giving her this long plan of what they were going to do, 8 hours a day, and each hour what they were going to do. They were quite enthusiastic and intoxicated about it. And Daddy was just listening. And then after a while, after they finished, Daddy said, that's a very good plan. However, Daddy's advice is that you stick to 4 hours a day, and the rest of the time, you fulfill to some karma seva, karmana seva, in the yagya. Keep yourself busy and engaged. But those 4 hours, use them constructively. Daddy doesn't advise 8 hours at a stretch. Because otherwise, you will start an account of waste and a sanskara of waste. And that's not a good thing for your yoga. And she was straight. You know, she wasn't about to indulge some fantasies. She was being very realistic, recognizing the capacity of the souls in front of her, and yet offering something halfway. She could meet them halfway. You know? Now, Daddy Gulzar, I mean, Daddy Gulzar's, you know, the epitome of purity. Her purity meant that she actually never experienced pain in her life. I remember even when she went through cancer, and we used to ask her, Daddy, did you experience pain? She said, no. And even now, recently, one of the nurses that was looking after Daddy, and, you know, Daddy had 3 years in Mumbai before that, lots of visits to the hospital, water in her lungs, and they would puncture her here. And one of the nurses said she never experienced pain. Maybe once she saw Daddy experience discomfort, but not pain. And there were moments when the doctor was stitching up the wound without anesthetic, and Daddy completely detached. And that was the power of her purity. And when I asked Daddy Gulzar the question, why does Baba love you so much? Daddy replied, because Baba is in my sanskars and Baba is my sansar, my world. And you know, this touched me very deeply, because I have always known that love can bring about great miracles, but you have to qualify yourself for it. And there is a certain degree of some sanskars you have to merge to allow Baba's love to do its work. You can't just keep being gopi or dipti or and expect to be constantly loving. It doesn't work. This is an old skin. It's an old kokla. What do you call it? Like an old empty vessel or something. There's nothing in it. You know, gopi is the remnants of a last birth. But Baba's love. And I felt, and one of the things that illustrated that was, I remember Neelu Ben telling us the story of taking Daddy on travel. And they were at an airport, and Neelu Ben wanted to go to the toilet. So she left the bags and baggage there, and she said to Daddy, please look after this. Because you know they make these announcements at the airport. Please look after your bag and baggage. If left unattended, it'll be taken away and destroyed. So she told Daddy, you just sit here with the baggage and I'll go to the toilet. She goes to the bathroom, comes back. The luggage is there, but there's no Daddy there. So she kind of panics a little, looks around and says, where's Daddy? And so she finds Daddy at a distance, halfway down the hall, with an old lady, and Daddy's pointing to the arrivals and departures screen, helping her out. So she says to Daddy, she runs up to Daddy and says, Daddy, come, come, we have to go and sit down. And Daddy very innocently said, yes, but this mother needed help. She came, she's looking, she's asking for my flight, she didn't know where to go, so I just showed her where the arrival and departure was. There was like no thought of my luggage, I've been told to stay here, nothing. It was like a surrender to the need of the moment. You know, it's like serving, a surrender to serving. There's a much higher level you operate from than the logistics of protecting what's mine and I in this moment now.
And yet that does get taken care of.
Yeah, your stuff gets taken care of. When you take care of the higher thing, the lower stuff always gets taken care of.
If it's done accurately.
If it's done, yeah. So it was like, you know, when you, to make Baba your world, this is not a small thing. No, it's one thing to have love for God, but quite another thing to make Baba your world. You can have love for cats and dogs and objects. That's a very gross base level of love. But to become loving in everything means to honor the relationship in every aspect of your life. You know, it's like Baba's square bang, the center of your universe, which means that relationship is honored and felt before you do anything. It's so intimate. It's so close.
And then Daddy Janki?
And then Daddy Janki. Well, our Daddy Janki. Daddy's expression of love. On the one hand, was like an army general. I remember when Daddy Kumarka passed away, and I was in Madhuban with Daddy Janki, and Ramesh Bhai came to see Daddy a few days after the funeral had happened. And Ramesh Bhai said to Daddy Janki, Daddy, you now have to give the love that Daddyji gave. And without missing a beat, Daddy Janki turned around to him and said, what about you? You have to give the love that Daddyji gave. So her love was always pushback. It had a faith in it. It had a trust in it. It was based on gyan yukt love. You understand? Not just a feeling of love, but very clear understanding. You have a part to play in God's unlimited task. God knows how to use you, now play it. And that's why over a period of time, one of the things I love about Baba's love is he doesn't interfere. Baba will never force his way in. If you are willing, Baba will respond. But if you are not willing, Baba will remain a detached observer.
He'll wait.
Baba has eternal patience. And he just waits. But he will never interfere. And that's something I saw in Daddy Janki over a period of time. You know, she would know. Sometimes she'd look at our face and she'd know we're having a bad day. But her drishti would just say, I know, it's fine, you're okay, get over it. Without her needing to say, how are you? Are you okay? Can I help you today? Can I give you a cup of tea? You know, that kind of smothering kind of, where you feel the need to keep physically expressing your love, because actually what you're seeking behind it is self-validation.
So you're bringing up something here, and maybe to just deepen this understanding of love, love and care. God cared and God loved, but the word care has taken on many dimensions as time has gone by in Brahman life and in the yajna, and you know, the feeling of I need to be cared for. Or talk a little bit about love and care.
Where are we sitting now? We are sitting in a container of Baba's love and care, right? The facilities that are provided for us, the food, the atmosphere, the environment, the company, the knowledge. This is a practical expression of Baba's love, which is what real care is. But I still have to do my individual work in it. And that's what I see, is that love creates a space to allow you to be and find your way. And real care, if I think of how the daddies cared for us, when we go in front of them, first thing daddy would say, have you eaten? Have you eaten? Many times she'd say to us, have you? And she wouldn't talk to us until we'd gone and eaten something. Are you okay? Have you got everything you need? It's like their understanding of care was that, have you taken what Baba has given you? Have you let yourself be cared for by what Baba has given you? Be it Brahma Bhojan, be it some sleep, whatever it is. Okay, once that's happened, then we can talk. Because until you've let yourself receive Baba's care, this doesn't work. You will be left in a place where you feel alone, or you feel like, when I get older, who's going to look after me? And actually, when you're sitting in Madhuban, do you have that thought, when I get older, who's going to look after me? You don't. But when you go back to your own places, it doesn't feel, that thought arises. So my point is, when we have set up a system, a practical framework based on Srimad, Baba's love continues to be flushed through the system. And then it's up to each individual and their internal effort as to how much they feel cared for. Mm-hmm. How much I receive care. Because you know, when you are in a space inside yourself where you feel shame, or you're indulging guilt, or you feel defensive or lonely or whatever, and you still feel you're in bondage, it doesn't matter how much love someone's giving you, you can't take it. Mm-hmm. Because you have to do the work of liberating yourself from that bondage.
And
you get my point.
Yeah, yeah.
And but then what I sometimes see is when souls are in bondage, they project that bondage on others. And then it's like, let's talk about systems of how we can care for others. And I'm like, whoa, this is when what is not resolved inside gets projected out into a conversation about everybody else. And that's when it's Lokic thinking, because this is what happens in the Lokic world. People inside do not feel loved and cared for, so they create massive conferences on caring and well-being. But here, in Baba's world, I am being cared for.
You know, you're bringing up something very
important, and it was this morning I was listening to Mohini Didi, and this whole aspect of the accumulation, the avyak signal. And she said a line that was very powerful, and I noted it, and you reminded me of that. And she was just saying that no one will be able to help you at the end. What will help you is what you accumulated.
Correct. That's what's worked. Well, that's what works for you.
That's what works correct. For you, and that's where the care will express itself. The drama will reveal the right energies to open your pathway, isn't it? But you need to accumulate.
Mm. Mm. And this is what I, when I think of that,
not anticipate.
No. And not wait. Not anticipate, not be expectant.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we live in expectancy. But this is where I felt Daddy had mastered this. She understood the basics of how Baba sustains souls. The deep rug, the thread of Baba's care for each child. And she would know in that moment, recognize the level of care someone needed. And she could respond to that automatically without smothering that person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be a moment of attention. It could be a pistoli. It could be food. Or it could just be silence. Whatever it was. But she trusted Baba. Implicitly, Baba knows how to look after that soul. And in that moment, I'm just Nimit to reflect back something to that soul. You know, many years ago, there were two things. When I asked Daddy Janki the question, why does Baba love you so much? Daddy responded by saying, well, because Daddy has followed and made practical every one of Baba's directions. There's nothing that she has left unfinished and incomplete. And that's the beauty of love, is fulfilling the responsibility of love, completing what it is that resonates between me and Baba. And then I remember a time when it was, we were running a series of retreats in Oxford, and I had worked with, I think some of you may know him, Brian, on the Global Executive Retreats. It was a series of retreats targeting Fortune 500 CEOs, and this whole bridging between spirituality and business. So Daddy was invited, Brian was there, and about halfway through the retreat, one evening, Neville was interviewing Daddy and Brian, and I was translating for Daddy. And Neville started off by saying, Daddy, tell us, you've known Brian for 25 years, tell us what his speciality is. And Daddy started responding to the question in a roundabout way. So she starts, you know, he's playing his part, and you're seeing his specialities, and he's sharing with you, you know, his learnings, his truth, and that. And after about a minute, Neville stopped her. And Neville said, Daddy, can you please answer the question directly? And just say, Brian's speciality is ... And at that point, Daddy just said very simply, why should Daddy do that? He is playing his part. His speciality is visible and clear to all of you. If today Daddy goes that extra mile to point out his speciality, then tomorrow he will have permission to point out Daddy's weakness. And Daddy doesn't want to enter into games of relationship like this. You know, being Gyan Yukt is very deep. Where your intellect rests in certain truths. I am a soul. I'm playing my part. And they are a soul, and they're playing their part. there isn't a need for extra noise where you become visible or you make something unnecessarily visible. Yes, there were times when souls would come to Daddy feeling disheartened and there was an extra response of love. That's different. But I'm talking about becoming a natural yogi, which means loving and detached, resting in certain truths deeply, and not letting yourself be pulled into some very subtle games of Maya in relationships. You know, that don't allow you to feel held in God's love, because they'll pull you into a game of acknowledgement, oh yes, familiarity, you know, like the kind of superficialities you can engage in, and you lose the reality of the spiritual bond we share. I mean, how many times a year do we speak? Maybe twice, three times max. And yet there's such a deep and fluid bond that just gets instantly activated when we meet. There's no noise there, there's no need for anyone to prove anything or say anything. There's just a stream that gets activated. It's the same with Baba.
And so that this love is, in the context of all that you've been sharing now too, there can be many subtle threads of exchange which creates a bondage if one is not clean in that love. Because it's somehow, even if you don't want to use the word, it's contractual. I say this good about you, and so as a result of it, there's something in expectation. It can be very quiet. And so what you're sharing is how it has to, love has to be very clean. If that love is very clean, it sets you free. There's no obligation. I just find that for me is a very important thing, is when you do it for Baba and you do it purely for Baba, then you are free. But if you are doing it for a human being and you are receiving from a human being, you'll always be obliged to them.
That's where I would change one little preposition.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say doing it for Baba. I would say doing
with Baba. Yeah.
Because Baba. The experience of being with Baba in everything,
yeah,
it makes you a giver, a donor.
Yeah.
And the experience that you can give your company, you can extend your time, you can extend a hand of cooperation, it's a sense of deep benevolence, you know? And there isn't anticipation or expectancy. This is the protection of Baba's love for us, you know? And that's what liberates us from the games. Because you can't feel used if you feel benevolent. Yeah, sure, however much you want, take. You know, and that's a very important space to nurture. The nurturing of feeling held in Baba's love that changes my feelings into those of benevolence. Because then it's like there's no limits when you feel benevolent. There's just a response and a surrender to that moment in the drama, to whatever's needed. You don't have an agenda. Oh, it should be like this, or should be like that, or should be like that. None of that. It's just a very natural response to the need of the moment. And that's where I've experienced that when there's real clean love and you let yourself be held by Baba, then drama becomes your friend.
Yeah. It's beautiful, eh?
Yeah. You create a loving friendship with drama. And, you know, whatever the other noise and detail is, it doesn't affect you because you see the intelligence of a friend. You don't treat a friend like they're a bully or a victim. There's an intelligence there, and you seek the intelligence of your friend. And that's where I feel, you know, Baba's love enables us to make drama our friend.
It's very... I'm remembering this line from Baba's Murli, where Baba said, love is easy yoga. Mm-hmm. And to become absorbed in love is complete knowledge.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. And complete knowledge.
Unpack this a little bit more. I mean, you started this thread.
I mean, at a practical level, if you are a fully knowledgeable soul, there is no waste. Forget about negativity. There is no waste. Is wherever there's wastage, love is diluted. It's like, you know, a fully knowledgeable soul is naturally on purpose. It's like they have a broad, far-reaching intellect where nothing is done without significance. Everything has a value and a meaning to it. It's like an understanding. They understand their place in any moment in time. And so what they bring is value to everything. So whatever they touch flourishes. But when you're having waste thoughts inside, you're having waste thoughts, you're insecure inside, you're feeling weak, and then you use service as an excuse to prop yourself up. It's a bit like we have this expression in Hindi, abhiman, seva ka naam lekar ke apna kaam karta hai. This is when ego uses the name of service to get its job done. You know? And I've felt it's so important that first that little moment with Baba, where you just relax into that relationship. Because the moment you relax into that relationship, who am I? Who do I belong to? Where do I come from? It's like you reset the compass. And then all your resources work for you. Your wisdom works for you in that moment. Your knowledge works for you in that moment. Your powers work for you. Whatever you've accumulated works for you. But if you miss that piece of resting, taking a few moments to just relax and rebond with Baba, then your ego will use you. And that's when you enter into all kind of subtle dynamics and games and get influenced and find yourself going round a side road to get to your destination.
So as you're describing that, Baba had said to be merged in love. Baba said, don't just take a dip and come out.
Mm.
Yeah? Say something more.
Don't just take a dip and come out. Well, I guess it might be different for everyone. You know, sometimes there are those who like to go to the shores of the ocean and just sit on the sand and watch the ocean. And then there are those that want to go and just put their feet in the ocean. And then there are those that want to go swimming in the ocean. So which one are you? But I do want to say, you do have to build a capacity to keep swimming in the ocean. Eh? To Baba's love is not a general love. It's a very, very pure love. And internally, just as a swimmer has to build strength to stay in the waves of a big ocean, you need strength, not just skill, you need strength. Which means you need to have practiced over a period of time. Our practices of subtle purity, our dharanas, consistency in our Brahmin life, build the capacity to stay swimming in Baba's love. And especially the capacity of the divine intellect. I feel too often, sometimes, you know, people throw their intellects in the garbage bin. And I'm like, don't do this to your intellect. It's such a precious gift you've been given by Baba, and you're wasting it on some remnant of the past, or wasting it on someone's weakness, or wasting it on some feeling of insecurity. And so the capacity to make the intellect into a golden-aged vessel, which means concentration. Who am I? Who do I belong to? Where do I come from? Nothing else matters.
Did you feel Baba's drishti of love? Any other thoughts? Otherwise we'll open it up. So I'm sure this triggered many thoughts and feelings for you too. And just as we had this heart-to-heart conversation, we'd love your contribution to this conversation too. Anything that has come up for you, surfaced, anything you want clarified. There's a mic there, yeah. They're deep in the ocean.
Thank you very, very much. It was very inspiring, especially for the newcomers. And some things I have learned. I did not know that that is Ishu. No, Lakshmi. She was so precise in cutting those vegetables for you. I didn't know that she was so consistent with her practice. So, thank you very much, you too. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other thoughts? Anything that has awakened for you that you'd like to share? It was a beautiful Murli on Sunday. Yeah? So many areas and facets to awaken within the heart. Yes? This one. You can come forward, sister. Okay, brother.
Thank you very much. Now, just a little question about experience in Baba. I had experience in yesterday, and it's my first time here in Malwan, and I've been so touched and so held. I had that image very clearly in my mind and in my heart by being held by Baba. Yesterday I had this experience that I couldn't stop thinking about service ideas or how to show. I wanted, okay, Baba, please stop. Make me stop and take me up and stop thinking. But I couldn't. So what do I do when those thoughts, I think they are elevated or pure? I don't know if they are wasteful or not. But
yeah, no, good question, actually. I remember many years ago I had the same predicament. I would sit in yoga and wonderful thoughts of service would come. And then I had a feeling, maybe something's not right. So I actually wrote a letter to Daddy Gulzar to ask her. So, Daddy, I'm having all these thoughts of service. I sit in yoga. They're not wasteful. I mean, they're creative thoughts. Let's just put it like that. And I said, so is that okay? And she sent me a one-line reply. And it was, lack of controlling power. Basically, that's what it is, right? Lack of controlling power. And I go, okay, I get the message.
Thank you.
Greetings, Om Shanti, sweet sisters. I've just been immersed in work where I think they substitute rights for love. And so for people with disabilities and people who are forgotten in society, by society, they're creating programs of care and support. And so when you talked about love and care, I felt like, are there places where we rob souls of Baba's love? Do we actually create places in society where we deny Baba's love just to be there with them? So I'd like some thoughts on how the rights agenda, how we bring back love into that rather than it's your right to have this. I'm a little bit lost in it because I was so deep in what was happening, but I know you've done some activism work, both of you.
You want to respond? I think it's a very valuable question. And I suppose one of the things that happens is, especially in areas where we want to socially care, we start doing. And so this doing energy somehow validates our care. And I've had the opportunity to work in vulnerable situations. And I just found that the atmosphere that we create
becomes a gift for them. And I had always remained very mindful that there are many people that will do. But I need to create such a powerful stage that when I arrive there, I give them what the soul has received from Baba. And very often they would say, when you come, we feel so peaceful. When you come, we feel love. When you come, so it's like we have to download and we need to be so present in that experience. Then with whatever we do, it's not that we're living in an aloof world. Our doing will have purpose. And we're not just, we're taking them at a higher level. I found very often when I've been to certain places, even our sister sitting here with me, Sister Aruna, she and I have been going to the prison as well. And she has done amazing work also with prisoners. But what impacted their lives was our vibration. And I think that we must never ever compromise that in trying to care. Because the need is so loud on a physical level that we want to get doing. And the doing will happen. It will happen powerfully and effectively. But I find often when I'm going there, the preparation is long beforehand. I upload these souls early in the morning at Amrit Vela. I've already put them where I feel they would take support from Baba. So it's not going to the place that's going to serve them. I know today I have to go somewhere. So before I go there, in the morning, after my deep Amrit Vela time with Baba, I say to Baba, I'm going to go here, but here's the souls. So already they have a connection with Baba subtly. So that when you arrive there, they can receive. If you haven't placed them where they need to take from, they won't know where the delivery is coming from.
Yeah? You know, many years ago as a child, I used to go to a polio clinic. Within our family, there's always this thing of charity and whatever in Indian families. And I used to go play with kids who had polio. And on one occasion, I mean, they were some of the happiest kids I saw. They had claimed their right to happiness. I could put it like that. I mean, they were born without limbs, but for them that was normal. But they were so happy. We were so happy playing. Until one day, I'm not sure who these people were, but there was a group of three or four people. And they were clearly from somewhere in Europe, but I don't know who they were. And they're walking around the polio clinic looking sad. And it was interesting because as a child, all I could see in their eyes was, oh, poor things. They don't know what happiness is. And I understood there's a difference between spiritual rights and physical rights. So what rights are you claiming? So from the perspective of these adults, the right to happiness was obviously the right to comforts and facilities and this, which clearly these kids didn't have. They didn't have a full set of limbs. And so from their perspective, oh, poor them. And from the child's perspective, well, I'm already happy. I've already got my right to be happy. But then watching the interaction between these two was very interesting. Because after some time, which one influences which one? Does this one influence this one? Right? Does this one that, oh, you have a right to this material, this comfort. And then this one lets go of their spiritual right to be happy and to choose their happiness and succumb to, yes, I should be claiming my right at this level. I should be claiming my right at this level. But they've lost a gift. And this is the story of Africa in many ways. You know that. Mm-hmm. You've been out working in there. And I think this whole area of claiming rights, what rights are we claiming? And at a physical level, how can you secure a right when everything is impermanent?
And the congestion is on the top.
Exactly. And so at a very deep level, what I find in Baba's system, you know, systemic thinking is dangerous. Especially if it's not, you're not spiritually grounded. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise you will end up creating systems on the basis of facilities. And what that can inevitably lead to is people becoming dependent. Now, when systems are based on gyan and yoga, and when I think of Baba's container, it's based on principles of purity. You are invited because this carries a principle to sustain your purity if you choose. But within this framework, you are walking in as a conscious being with a choice, and you are choosing how much happiness you want to claim and how peaceful you want to become. And that, when that is empowered and that is nourished, then it's not about, the system is just a secondary support to that. And that's why I feel, you know, a spiritual education where individuals develop a spiritual awareness of their spiritual rights is so important. Because the game at the base level is always going to change. How much are you going to fight for those physical human rights? Because they're always changing. So I don't know if that goes any way to answering your question, but, you know, some way there. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, sisters, for sharing those lovely stories about the daddies, for taking us a little deeper into this so important, very important topic of love. So we give them a wave of thank you for that. I have one or two announcements, but I wanted to put you on the spot, Sister Gopi. Sister Gopi is partly responsible for our health, the Double Foreigners group, and I was wondering whether you wanted to give us a little idea of what is expected of us when we come to Madhavan, especially in the face of COVID.
Personal health is a personal issue. But against the backdrop of changing times, I think it's so important for individuals to become honest with their bodies and the needs of their body, and to make that articulate. Madhuban can provide for your needs, but you do have to communicate. That's one thing. Second, I would say that if you are feeling unwell, you do have a fever, take that time to rest. Don't necessarily feel the need to be in the gathering. Things are now available on your phone and iPad. Take that time to rest and to just look after the body and your needs. And thirdly, and I was saying this to somebody, when you come to Madhavan, come with your little medical kit. You know, I'm talking about basic things like probiotics, maybe Imodium to stop diarrhea, because so much stuff at an emotional level, it starts to shift through your physical body when you come to Madhavan. Stuff that you've held in the year suddenly gets settled here. You know, we had a sister from Iran who ended up with such severe diarrhea, she ended up in hospital, and then 5 days, settling of a karmic account, came back to her room, and she was as, it was like nothing had happened. So things are happening. You know, it's wise not to, if you're coughing away, not to sit next to too many people, to make sure that your germs stay within your own aura, however way you want to do it. So, yeah, I think it's wise to become honest with your prakriti, your matter, and to be able to give yourself what you need and be sensible with your body, because this body is precious. It's the vehicle for earning an income, and it, as long as there's breath and there's life, there's Baba's remembrance. And Madhuban, you know, the health and hygiene in Madhuban, I was telling the NCs, it's like dealing with a multi-armed octopus. You know, a whole culture shift, an education shift. I loved it that Baba was talking about cleanliness this morning. But it is an awareness that's growing in India and in Madhuban. And, you know, it's at the end of the day, my personal hygiene is my responsibility. You know, I come loaded with my wipes, with my wet wipes, my little sprays, and I just create, and my aim is to create a clean atmosphere around me wherever I go. So I don't stop and say, well, that's dirty, that's this. You know, we are in a process of cleaning up the ship. It's taking time, but your feedback and your communication is also important in all of this. So we're very fortunate that downstairs over the COVID period, we managed to install a very, very big water treatment plant, carbon filter, sand filter. So all the raw water coming into Baba's campus is treated, filtered, and is WHO standard portable drinking water, whichever tap you open anywhere. And so, you know, slowly, slowly there are changes and there's an awareness increasing in Baba's homes. But at the end of the day, my personal hygiene is my personal responsibility. So, is there anything specific you wanted me to say?
No, no, thank you. Thank you very much for bringing us up to date on that, and I think our awareness about how we should behave individually
Absolutely.
To manage COVID is important.